Open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles. And if you could turn to 1 Corinthians and just keep your finger there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. We've been talking about developing an attitude of gratitude. We talked the first week about having an attitude of love. Then we talked about an attitude of joy. And it's only appropriate that on this Sunday we discuss developing an attitude of gratitude. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. You'll read this verse many times, primarily in the Psalms. Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. Verse 29 of a Psalm 118. Verse 136, verse 1. They all say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." But it's in 1 Chronicles that it begins. And so as we prepare this morning, the interesting thing is that we need to understand what attitudes are. Your attitude is a pattern of thinking that you have developed over a long period of time. Attitudes, and this is as one pastor put it, and probably one of the best definitions I found, attitudes are patterns of thinking developed over long periods of time. Some of us suffer from what is technically, if I could use the most theological precise term, directly from the Greek and Hebrew, some of us suffer from what is called stinking thinking. And I used to say that if your nose runs and your feet smell, you're built upside down. But the problem is, some of us have patterns of thinking that are far worse than any foot odor we could ever have. Stinking thinking is the opposite of an attitude of gratitude. Attitudes are patterns of thinking developed over long periods of time. And it can be a critical attitude. It can be a complaining attitude. It's called different things. But the interesting thing is that having the Holy Spirit within me allows me to have biblical attitudes. Having the Holy Spirit within me allows me to have love. Notice this, it allows me to have, number one, love. It allows me to have, number two, joy. It allows me to have gratitude. And so having the Holy Spirit within me allows me to have love in terms of this. Because of the Holy Spirit and because God has poured out His Spirit into our hearts, having the Holy Spirit within me allows me to choose love and to choose selflessness instead of selfishness. You have an attitude of love when you choose selflessness, serving others, sacrificing for others, instead of selfishness. The Holy Spirit allows you to have joy. You choose to feel joy. Joy, Christian joy, is a feeling in the soul. And I choose to feel joy as I see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world, instead of choosing to be downcast, to be sullen, to be negative, to be critical. The moment I experience sullenness or negativity or criticism, it is not the Holy Spirit. While the Holy Spirit gives us discernment, it gives us the ability to encourage people to walk with God rather than to quietly or out of their company criticize them. That's the difference between biblical confrontation and a complaining, critical attitude. Biblical encouragement always deals scripturally with the problem that the person might become better. And so, love, I choose selflessness instead of selfishness. Joy, I choose to feel joy as I see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world instead of being downcast, sullen, critical. And gratitude, I choose to be content instead of discontent and critical. That's what God wants to produce through the Holy Spirit in you. Notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 37. Notice we often move right to the second word. And what's the second word in this verse? But what's the first word? But, which means there's a contrary condition prior to this. Do not choose the contrary condition of being downcast or sullen or critical or discontent. Choose instead to choose the attitude of gratitude. But I will give thanks to God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So many people are focused on what is wrong. So many people are focused on what they don't have. So many people are focused on the negative that instead they should be focusing upon the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. Through Christ you have forgiveness. Through Christ you have a relationship with God Almighty. Through Christ you have victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not only does he give us the victory, but notice this, again, a contrary condition. Rather than feeling that the Christian life is not worth living, rather than feeling that you're not getting everything you should have in the Christian life, notice this, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, the idea of victory is introduced. Here, it's taken even further in that it's the idea of the procession of a victorious army marching behind their general back into their city after a great defeat. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Lord. And he leads us. And here's the thing. If you want an attitude of gratitude, if you want to choose selflessness instead of selfishness and be more loving, if you want to feel joy as you see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world, then you need to have this idea of being continually thankful for the salvation that you have in Christ. That's what he says here. Because Christ is leading you. And the only time you can be certain that you are not allowing Christ to lead you is when you choose selfishness, when you choose discontent, when you choose criticism, when you choose not to be thankful. So what can we say? What can we say? Let me just go back here a bit. What can we say? Well, discontentment makes rich people poor. Why choose gratitude? Why choose contentment? Discontentment makes rich people poor. No matter what they have, they're not happy because they're not thankful. Contentment makes poor people rich. No matter what they have and don't have, they're happy and satisfied. First, because of their relationship with Christ, but second, because they're not focused on things. It's been said that two telltale marks of a Christian are giving and forgiving, because the world knows little of either. And those who are not giving, those who are not forgiving, those who do not receive with gratitude and thankfulness everything God has given to us in Christ will never be able or capable of giving or forgiving to others. What else can we say about contentment and discontentment? Listen to this. John Gardner in his book said, if happiness could be found in having material things, which nation would be the happiest nation in all the world? Ours. If happiness could be found in having material things and in being able to indulge yourself in things that you consider pleasurable, then we in America would be deliriously happy. We would be telling one another frequently of our unparalleled bliss rather than trading prescriptions for antidepressants and tranquilizers. Something is wrong in our culture. In fact, actually, let me go off script for a minute. Fidel Castro, one of the worst leaders ever, a horrible dictator, a man who murdered thousands and thousands, a man who preached communism and equality. It's very interesting that he died on Black Friday. Did you notice that? A man who pushed socialism through the barrel of a gun died on Black Friday, the most materialistic day of the whole year. Did you see the figures? Over $600 billion spent on Black Friday. It's an interesting thing. If you want, I looked at this from the aspect of parenting. What causes our children to walk strong with Christ? I believe it's an attitude of gratitude. If you want to build up your children, you need to display an attitude of gratitude and contentment. Too many times, after church, we go home and have roast person, not just roast beef or roast chicken. Our children grow up in homes where they hear criticism of leaders. They hear criticism of politicians. They hear criticism of people at their workplace. And parents need to realize, if you want to build up your children, you need to display an attitude of gratitude and contentment. Are you teaching your children that what they have is enough when you have victory in Christ, when you're being led by Christ, when you have everything in Christ? Other names for discontentment. See, we often disguise it. I'm not a critical person. I just tell the truth. But do you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1? No matter how I speak, if I do not have love, I am useless. Nothing. We come up with other names for lacking an attitude of gratitude. We come up with other names for being discontent. We call it critiquing. Well, I have an opinion, and I have a right to share it. That's not what the scriptures say. Only that which is useful for building one another up, it says. Well, I have certain preferences. I'm not a critical person. I'm not discontent. But I just have preferences, and if I like something a certain way, that's my right. Well, no, because we're to have preference for others. And we're to esteem others. That's the whole essence of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Choose to have the right attitude. Choose a pattern of thinking that is not in violation of God's word. People who are full of the Holy Spirit will definitely always be full of gratitude. And so, the first Thanksgiving. There we are. The first Thanksgiving, when was it? I believe it was in 1 Chronicles 34 and not during the founding years of our nation. The reason they were thankful is that they were following a biblical pattern. And I believe that if you want to move into a new nation of thinking, if you want to create a new nation of my attitude changed, then you need to be like our forefathers, like the early pilgrims, who took the biblical pattern and created a holiday. Only two nations celebrate Thanksgiving, Canada and the United States. Both were founded on biblical principles. Both were founded by true believers who wanted to honor God and understood that God was the source of everything good. And so the first Thanksgiving, turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 34. Let's go there. A recipe for a thankful heart. 1 Chronicles. It's right before the Psalms. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. Backwards alphabetical order. I always like to say this. If you want to know how Timothy or Thessalonians, Timothy and Titus fit together, alphabetical order. Thessalonians, then Timothy, then Titus. If you want to know how Samuel's Kings and Chronicles fit together, it's what? Backward alphabetical order. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 34, let me just go there. Or pardon me, what's our memory verse? Let me just... Okay, 16, sorry. You know, I have it in my notes, I'm looking at it, and it's like, why am I thinking 34? In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, thank you. That was very encouraging, the way you did that. I did not consider that critical at all. That was helpful. Actually, you know what drives me crazy? Is when the microphone is not working and someone yells out, "Your mic's not working." We know. We know. We know. And, anyway. See how easy it is to fall into an attitude of stinking thinking? Anyway, let's get into God's word and let's get changed. God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. The first Thanksgiving, notice this. And they brought in the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. So here's what had happened. The Philistines had captured the Ark. And that was when Eli had died. And then over time, David became king, and Saul was king, and then David was king. And when David became king, the Ark was kept somewhere else, and he wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem. And so the Ark was brought to Jerusalem, and they brought in the Ark of God, and they set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And now notice this, the first Thanksgiving meal, what did they have? And distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord. Notice this, to invoke, in other words, to call upon God, to thank, and to praise the Lord. Now let me ask you, if you were to describe your prayer life, would it be equal parts of invoking, equal parts thanking, equal parts praising, or does your prayer life consist mostly of what? Going to God and saying, God, I need. I want. How much of our time spent before the Lord is equal part invoking, equal part thanking, and equal part praising the Lord, the God of Israel? Notice in verse 5, Asaph was the chief, and second to him were Zechariah, Jael, Shiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then notice verse 7, underline verse 7. Then on that day, David, what's the next word? First. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Notice that? The first thanksgiving. The momentous occasion of God's presence among the people. God returning to his rightful place of worship among the people. Ministers before the Lord, invoking, thanking, praising the Lord. People celebrating with food and with singing. And so if you want a recipe for a thankful heart, it begins at verse 8. And notice the recipe for a thankful heart. Ready for this? Number one, a recipe for a thankful heart on the very first Thanksgiving. Number one, oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is verse 8. Number one, recipe for a thankful heart. If you're going to build a thankful heart, the recipe for it, the first ingredient, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. You will never, ever have a gratitude, an attitude that is grateful, a thankful gratitude. You'll never be thankful until the first ingredient of telling others what you're thankful for. You just won't be thankful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. The very first recipe for a thankful heart is your willingness to share with others what you're thankful for. Now, I'd like you to do me a favor. Write down those people that you spend the most time with and ask yourself, they spend this much time being thankful, they spend this much time, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is wrong, this is a problem, that's a problem, I'm not happy about this, I'm not happy with that. Just ask yourself, do you hang around people who are guilty of stinking thinking? People who are ungrateful? Who are your friends at school? Are they constantly complaining? Who are your friends at church? Are they constantly complaining? If you want to grow spiritually, the first ingredient in a recipe for a thankful heart is ask yourself, how often am I thankful in letting people know what God has done in my life, Or have I replaced thankfulness, contentment with discontentment? Number 2, verse 9. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Notice again, it's not just the telling of his wondrous works, but it's the singing together, the corporate worship. Corporate worship should be a time when we focus on the words and we lift up our hearts as a thankful praise to God. Second ingredient is worshipful thanksgiving. Number 3, the third ingredient, verse 10, glory in his holy name. I have 8 of these, by the way. Glory in his holy name is number 3. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Notice, are you seeking the Lord? Glory in his holy name. What will you take? What will it take to make you happy? What are you sitting here saying, oh, if only I had this? When you glory in his holy name, just out of curiosity, I bought this roaster at Costco. It's the most wonderful thing I've ever bought in my whole life. If there was room, I would keep it beside me at night while I sleep. I love this roaster. It's approximately this size. It holds a 25-pound turkey. It sits on the counter, and it only uses regular household current, so it's very, very inexpensive to use. See, that's why I love it. But you put the turkey in it, the turkey can be frozen. And all you do is set it at 275 for 2 hours. And it thaws. Then you move it up to 325. And it sits in its own roasting pan, and it's got a lid. It's self-basting. It just does all the work itself. That's what I do. I do the meat. And it's very little work. Don't tell anybody in my family. They're always going, oh, you work so hard. No, I didn't. But the thing is this, it's self-basting. Now, just out of curiosity, how many of you made turkey and you had to keep taking the lid off your roaster and baste it so it wouldn't dry out? Okay, very interesting. You need to get this. It's at Costco. It will change your Christmas. Okay? I'll give you the information. I get a small finder's fee, But let's get back to this. Basting a turkey. Are you okay? Do you know what basting a turkey is? Okay. You take the little baster or you take the spoon, you pour it over. When it says in verse 10, glory in his holy name, this is the process of self-basting. Glory in his holy name. Just sitting back and just allowing the goodness of God and the graciousness of God and the mercy of God to just baste your soul. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. The third ingredient is to not only desire God, but to allow him to baste your soul and to seek him and to allow him to just change you from the inside out. And so the first ingredient is sharing what you're thankful for. The second ingredient is thankful worship. The third ingredient is to allow God to just permeate every aspect of your being, to push out. You know, it's funny, but it's the holidays when we start to clean out our fridge. Why do we clean out our fridge at Thanksgiving and Christmas? It's because we have all these wonderful, awesome leftovers, but there's no room in the fridge, so what do we have to do? Get rid of that salad dressing that has an expiry date from 2013. Okay? Get rid of that liver that I'm never going to cook anyway. Just get it out and put in the good stuff. Number 4, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Actually, Thanksgiving, I just realized this. Someone asked on Facebook if I had a recipe for cooking deer. And I said, nope, I'm cooking turkey. Anyway, seek the Lord in his strength. Ingredient number 4, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Notice how it's just a little bit different. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, but now it's specific. Don't just bask or baste or allow God to permeate you. Be intentional. Seek Him as Lord. Are you allowing Him to be master? Seek His strength. Are you allowing yourself to live in the power that He offers? Seek His presence continually. Do you do that? Do you want Christ to continually abide with you? If you abide in me and I abide in you, what does Jesus say? Ask whatever you wish. Why are we so powerless as Christians? We don't abide in Christ. We don't seek His presence continually. Number 5, verse 12. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. Ingredient number 5 is remembering. In the midst of struggle, the psalmist says, remember. Psalm 13 especially says that when I'm downcast, when I have tears, when I'm going through hardship, it's then that I look back at what God has done in the past and I rejoice. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. Remember His miracles. Remember His judgments. God is on the throne. Let's speed up a bit. Number 6, sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. The ingredient for number 6 is, if number 1 is when's the last time you told someone what you're thankful for, number 6 would be when's the last time you told someone how to come to Christ. Tell of His salvation from day to day. That's verse 23. We've jumped down to verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. That's number 6. In fact, we're going to jump down even more to verse 28. Notice number 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The 7th ingredient for a recipe for a thankful heart is sacrifice. Until you release your grip on those things that are earthly, you will never, ever be able to hold on to the eternal. Ascribe. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. That is an intentional desire to put your priorities in the right place. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. That's an intentional desire to be where you should be and doing what you should be doing. Until you release your grip on those things that own you, you will never be fully possessed by Christ. Number 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. There's our memory verse. Notice verse 35, say also, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and deliver us. Notice verse 36, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 34, the first time in Scripture that it's written, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. The final ingredient is to simply recall the goodness of God. When's the last time did you do it at Thanksgiving? Many families do this every year before they eat. They insist, they ask that everyone at the table say one thing they're thankful for. When's the last time as a family we sat down and were thankful? When's the last time as parents we said to our children, we don't have everything, but we have each other. We don't have everything, but we have what we need. Contentment must replace discontentment. Real contentment, Warren Wiersbe says. He was a prof at Dallas Seminary for many years, a wonderful pastor and preacher. Real contentment must come from within. You and I cannot change or control the world around us, but we can change the world within us. It has often been said that what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. Winnie the Pooh. Gotta love Winnie the Pooh. But more than that, you've got to love Piglet. I kind of fashion myself more after Eeyore, but I want to be more like Piglet. Notice what Piglet said. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude because he chose to have an attitude of gratitude. He chose to choose gratitude. He chose love, selflessness rather than selfishness. He chose joy. He chose to feel joy in his soul. He chose to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. He chose gratitude. He chose contentment rather than discontentment. He chose to encourage rather than criticize. And so I see thankful people. But now what we want to do is we want to give that thanks back to God. So let's pray. And the guys are going to come up and lead us in one last song. Father, thank you. May we realize that real contentment comes from within. We cannot change or control the world around us, but we can change the world within us. And Father, as we pray, as we lift up our hearts to you, may we realize that you are a good and gracious God. May we realize that you are a God that we need to love, that you have given us lives that we need to rejoice in, that we need to be thankful for what we have. And Lord, on this special weekend, may we realize that we need to tell others what we're thankful for. We need to rejoice. We need to tell others about salvation. We need to choose joy. We need to choose thankfulness. We need to choose to simply bask in your presence and allow your goodness, your glory to permeate us. So Lord, thank you. Father, thank you for everybody here. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray that you would bring them back safely. Lord, we just thank you again that you have given us an opportunity to be part of the body of Christ and to worship together. So, Lord, thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.